In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We don't believe in evolution, and yet still we get sucked into it. We mistake technological advances for advances and improvements in man's morality, that somehow we are more tolerant, more loving, more kind to different races than those people 2,000 years ago. But just because you travel by car instead of walking around doesn't mean that your heart is any different than theirs. It doesn't mean that you are more kind or more loving or more tolerant of anyone. Just because you lack carved idols doesn't mean you have finally gotten it right. Materialism, self-absorption, entertainment, sports, power, beauty, health, control are our gods, our idols. They seem more sophisticated than golden calves, but both turn our hearts away from God. Both stem from an arrogant heart that wants control of its life. Often we feel like we have much responsibility and little control. There are kids to raise and the endless decisions to make that accompany it. And everyone has an opinion. Everyone is ready to critique us on how we are doing. Inadequate, underprepared, and overwhelmed are all words that probably most parents would describe a week. Then there's the financial stress, retirement planning, concern for family and friends, both for their health and for their spiritual well-being. And then finally, there's that little thing at the end of life called death. And that is enough to shake our nerves. So when we find something that we can have full control of, we latch onto it and exalt it almost to the status of God. We can control what food we put into our bodies. We can control what we wear. We can control our hairstyle. We can control how we decorate our house and to some extent where we work and where we live. These things then give us a sense of accomplishment, a sense of stability. And we take pride in our routines and our schedules, and when everything is done according to our plans on a day or a week, we feel proud, accomplished. But then something unexpected happens in life, and our schedules and routines are shattered. And there's nothing we can do about it except seemingly jump on for the ride. And all these idols, all these gods, everything we thought was stable and certain, everything we thought was a great accomplishment in life turns to sand and is blown away by the wind, including our beauty, including the health of our children. It's no wonder that worry fills our thoughts. It turns out that bird watching and flower gazing preaches a far stronger law than Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at the birds fly above you, Jesus says. Ponder the lilies and see how little your faith is. How uncertain you are that God is always good. How small your trust in God is, and how obsessed you are with having control over all things. Birds build nests, not barns. They don't hoard food in fridges or deep freezers only to throw half of it out because they don't like it, or simply it's gone bad and they couldn't get to it. They don't build irrigation systems or watch their flowers or plants or food grow. And yet your Heavenly Father still feeds them. And they wake up each morning in a brilliant song to his praise. The eyes of the birds look to the Lord, and he gives them their food at the proper time. He opens his hand and satisfies their every desire, while our eyes look to the next paycheck, to our bank accounts, counting down the days, spending through credit what we do not yet have. Our eyes look to the next rung on the ladder, the next raise that we get. Our eyes look to Wall Street, to its rising and its falling. Our eyes look, if not to our successes, then to the successes of our children, both on the field or in the classroom. We don't stop to watch those birds fly above our heads because we have too many responsibilities, too many things to do. We don't have the time, and so we fail to see and to learn just how little our faith is. If that is not enough to call you to repentance, there's more. Not only do birds with pea-sized brains show how sinful you are, but also flowers that have no brains are far more pious than you. They don't stuff their closets or garages or spare bedrooms with stuff, and yet your Heavenly Father still clothes them. They don't stand in front of their closets, trying on an endless array of outfits, trying to decide what to wear, finally throwing up in their hands saying, "I have nothing to wear." Never mind that pile of clothes that sits on the bed. What we really mean when we say these things is, how can I go out in public like this? What will other people think of me? We finally realize that what we thought we could control, something as silly as clothes, is still not good enough. Oh, you of little faith, stop and smell the roses. Gaze at their beauty and then try to tell me that God loves them more than you. They preach to your heart that you haven't believed that God loves you just as you are, that you've doubted his goodness, and that you have valued the opinion of your gods, that is, of society and others, more than the opinion and words of your Heavenly Father. Idols are not a thing of the past. They are alive and well, and sadly, they even creep into our hearts. But our Lord speaks words of comfort. Do not worry about your life, he says. Why? Why are we not to worry when there's so many uncertainties in this life? Why? Because he knows. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. The pagans chase after food and clothes because their gods, their idols, cannot give them anything. It's up to them. And so man turns to his favorite idol, himself. He must be the one to go out and get it. He must be the one to work hard. And so he is the one who receives the accolades and praise. But you are not like them. You have a Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father is gentle and good. He knows what you need, and he always does what is best for you. There's no need to chase after these things. Your Heavenly Father knows, and he will give what is best. There's no need to spend time in worry because your Heavenly Father knows. There's no need to try to take control of your life. Your Father knows. He knows and he will daily bless you. Let go of all worry and believe that you live in his house under his gentle care. Learn from the birds, learn from the flowers, for your Father did not send his Son to become a flower, but to become a man to save you, your brother, so he might die to save you. So your life begins and ends with Christ. Your happiness begins and ends with Christ. Your beauty begins and ends with Christ. Your riches begin and end with Christ. Your health begins and ends with Christ. For life is more than food. So do not worry about your life. For your life is hidden away with God in Christ. He is your life. Your life is being dressed in his baptismal robes of righteousness. Your life is feasting on the bread of life. Your life is freedom from critique, freedom from worry and stress, freedom from the opinion of others, freedom from their critique of how you raise your kids, how you dress, how you live, freedom from having to second guess yourself, freedom from having to be in control of everything. Your life is controlled by God, a gracious and merciful Father, who, yes, gives many joys and also many tears, but always what is for your good. Finally, your life is Christ, for he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So your life will be fully realized when you leave this world and enter those realms of heaven. So learn from the birds, trusting that your Heavenly Father knows. Stop worrying and trust that he is in control and he knows what he is doing. Your flesh wants control, but look at those lilies and believe your Father governs all things and has already given you far more than you have asked for or deserve. Your flesh assumes that not worrying means carelessness, irresponsibility, negligence, doing the things you want to do that are spontaneous and immediate. But Christ's words are meant to awaken faith, not the flesh. And faith believes that God is good and has given you a purpose in this life to care and to love and to help those who are in need. Faith believes that God is good despite what you see, feel, or hear. Faith believes that God loves you despite what you feel, despite what you see, despite what you hear. Faith believes that God is in perfect control of all things, both in this part of the nation and around the world, despite what you see, feel, or hear. And so faith believes that God will give you far greater things than you can possibly imagine, far greater things than you will lose in this life. So live by faith and not by worry. Worrying ties your hands. It doesn't add anything to your life, but it blinds your eyes and renders your body completely useless. Live by faith. For faith in Christ sets you free. Sets you free to live for one another. Sets you free to see all things that you have as a blessing from God, even on your worst of days. There are still blessings. As you commend into His hands your body, soul, and all things. No need to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. No need to worry about today. For your heavenly Father is not an idol contrived by human minds. He is the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the King who spins it the world's seasons, days, and years. He is Lord of tomorrow, even as He was Lord of yesterday. And besides, tomorrow is not a frightful day. Tomorrow is a day of joy, for your Father has given you hope. Hope in the resurrection of all flesh. Hope in the glorious coming of your brother. And hope in the eternal life with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.